This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Adrienne Hill. Pregnancy comes with a whole lot of questions. About diapers, sure, but also about saving and budgeting and wills and life insurance. I am currently expecting my first child and wondering how in the world we're going to pay for everything. To field a few of the crucial money questions on the minds of parents and soon-to-be parents, I'm joined by certified financial planner Luis Barajas. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's nice to be here, Adrian.
So let's get things started. Is financial planning for kids and babies really that different from regular old financial planning?
Well, regular old, you're talking about people who don't have kids.
Yes.
Absolutely, it's very different because that's when you actually need a lot more planning. In fact, I think that once you have a kid, you should sit down with a financial planner right away. But there's a lot of issues to talk about.
What are the basic differences?
Well, the basic difference is that if you don't have a child, you're not really thinking even about an estate plan, right? You're not thinking about getting life insurance. You're not thinking about all these added expenses, child care, diapers, preparing for college.
Big range of stuff. Well, we have two curious guests. Andrew Brin, whose first child is due in February of next year, is with me now in studio. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and Sarah Boughton, whose first child may be coming really any time now. She was going to be here in person, but is at the hospital. Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
You doing all right?
I'm doing okay, thanks.
Great. So we're going to start with you because we want you to get all your questions in before the baby comes or the nurses come to bother you. Go ahead, ask away.
My husband and I are looking at life insurance policies, and we are wondering what we should take into consideration when taking out a life insurance policy in terms of how much.
Absolutely. Well, what you're going to do is you're actually going to take a look at how much income you both are earning, and then you're going to sit down and also clarify what are the goals that you're going to accomplish if something were to happen to either of you and you had unfunded goals, meaning because let's say that you're earning, I'm going to make this up, you're earning $60,000 a year and your husband's earning $30,000 a year. Maybe you're the sole breadwinner, you're the one making most of the money. You're going to need more life insurance because in case you pass away, there are going to be bigger unfunded goals. You're providing most of the income. You also want to take a look at the debt that you have. That's really important. You're also going to take a look at if something did happen to you and you wanted to send your child to college, how would you fund that? I mean, would it be a private college? Would it be a public college? So you're going to look at a lot of different things. That's important that you sit down with an insurance professional to look at everything. But one of the things that I want you to understand is that you can get really inexpensive life insurance by buying term. And stay with something like right now, you can get a 20-year term or even a 30-year term. And term insurance is plain vanilla insurance. It'll pay pretty much for anything if you pass away for anything. And for example, if you're 30 years old, and you get a $300,000 life insurance policy, a woman would only pay about $158 for the entire year.
So when we're talking financial planning, I understand you've got a question, Andrew, about other estate planning.
Well, we're wondering, in the balance, do we put more money into our own retirement accounts or into like a child savings account or something like that for future expenses, school and
medical
expenses?
I hear that question all the time, and that's an excellent question. And I think that it goes back to when you're actually doing planning, you want to take a look at your cash flow and see how much discretionary income you have left over at the end of the month, at the end of the year, and say, I'm going to put a certain amount of money into my retirement plan or the kids' education plan. But it's also going to depend on your age. You know, there are parents out there that are 50 years old. There are parents out there that are in their 20s. And if you're really young, you can start putting some money away for the kid and some money away for retirement. But if you're in your 50s, I'm going to tell you to start putting as much as you possibly can for retirement if you haven't done so already. And the reason for that is that they lend you money to go to college. They don't lend you money to retire. And the problem is that we don't know what Social Security will be like in the next 10, 15 years. And so it's really important that you do a plan and you actually really know what that number is for you and how much money you have left over at the end of each month to put away towards that retirement. But remember, you're going to have other bills. You know, it's not even going to be college funding. You're going to have, at some point, your kid's going to start driving, and you might give them your old car, but you might have to buy a new car. I'm Hispanic, so we have these quinceañera parties or the sweet 16s.
Which aren't cheap.
Which are not cheap, right? So you have a lot of expenses, and so you got to sit down and really take a look at, I call them life-defining moments, and sit back besides doing cash planning. What are the big ticket items that are going to be coming up in the next several years?
What's the do you have figures that we can roughly look at for, you know, like zero to school and then school to high school?
You know what? I just don't want you to pass out on me. So,
I'm
glad you're sitting down. So right now, the most current information I got on colleges, for example, public universities, not even private, The average annual cost is $18,500 a year. I wrote these numbers down. And if for 4 years, that would equal to $74,000 to public school for 4 years. But remember, your kid's not going to be born until the year 2013, so you're not going to have to save that money over the next 18 years. So you have inflation to worry about. Now, the average inflation has been about 3%, but for college expenses, it's been going up to 6, 7, 8% per year. So I'm going to take a smaller inflation rate of 6%. Well, when your child is born and ends up going to college, it's going to cost you $231,000 to send your kid to a four-year public university. Now, double that up for private schools, you're talking close to $500,000. That's a lot of money. So what do you do? How much should you be putting away? Well, again, you'd almost have to be putting away like $1,000 a month starting this month. And if you said, well, I don't have a lot of money even for retirement, that's where you have to sit down, take a look at your values, take a look at your priorities, and then take a look at the cash flow. And then actually that's where planning really makes a big difference, Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sarah, I understand you have a question about college funds and sort of the options out there. Is that right?
Yes. I was curious about a flexible account for college. I would hope to find something that would allow me to, if for some reason I wasn't able to use that account for college for whatever reason, that I could use it for something else, like an IRA or...
Yeah, no, you don't want to use any type of retirement plans for college. But what you do want to consider, maybe like, for example, a Section 529 plan. Those are state college fund plans in which you can put up to, usually $13,000 a year maximum. You can pre-fund them up to 5 years in advance. And the wonderful thing is that you own them, but you name your child as a beneficiary. And if for some reason your child decides to, buy themselves a Harley Davidson and not go to college, you can actually use that money. You can transfer it to another child. And if you decide that maybe you want to go back to college or get a master's degree or a PhD, you can use that money for yourself.
Now, can you pull money out of that 529 account in the case of a family emergency or?
You can. You're going to end up, if it's not for college, you're going to end up paying taxes. There might be some penalties on it. Depends on the state. Every state's a little different. That's why you actually want to sit down with a financial planner, or you just go online. There's a great website. It's savingforcollege.com. I think almost every financial planner I know goes to that website, savingforcollege.com. You'll enter the state that you live in, and it'll give you all the information for that state.
Is there anything really unique or special that we should know about health insurance for our child?
Well, yeah. And for health insurances, you want to make sure that your child is covered. But if you're having trouble paying for health insurance, you can also get these, higher deductible plans. And that's what you're also looking at getting, because what you want to make sure is that you're putting enough money away that you can afford health insurance in case something catastrophic, actually.
Right.
And so this is where I always tell people, look, one of the most important things is you want to save money right away and build an emergency reserve, emergency fund to cover the higher deductibles, to pay less premiums on insurance. If you want to pay less on any type of insurance, you can increase the deductible and you lower your costs. That's something. So I tell people, if you're going to do that, though, you have to have some money saved that's liquid and available. Yeah, you'll hear financial planners saying you need 3 to 6 months, sometimes up to a year of emergency reserve, but most people really aren't there. And I say just save at least enough to have a deductible amount. But Sarah said something. Let's go back a little bit to the life insurance that I've been thinking about. Sarah, for example, when you get that life insurance policy, who are you going to name as a beneficiary on those plans?
I think I would be naming my children, but is that, or I guess my husband? That's a really great question, actually.
Yeah, well, we don't trust your husband, so we're going to name somebody else. But you really always want to name the other spouse if you trust that spouse to manage the assets for your children and for the family. So you always name each other spouse. But what for, God forbid that both of you were to pass away in a car accident? And what I'm seeing a lot is I see a lot of parents name as a second beneficiary their minor children. And then life insurance company is not going to give $600,000, $1 million of life insurance to a three-year-old. And most likely will go through probate through the court system. And that might take a while. So that's why it's really important to get an estate plan done, to get a trust that you will name after your spouse.
Have you priced out daycare at all, Sarah?
No, I haven't priced out daycare. As of the moment, I'm working part-time from home. So
okay.
I'm planning on, I guess, paying myself for daycare.
That's something that I guess is an interesting question. When does it make sense for a parent to stay home with the kid?
What I like to do is I want to make sure that I'm going to take a look at what all their costs are for them going to work. Sometimes you'll find that if they're not earning a lot of money, let's say they're not making more than $40,000 a year, most of the time, one of the parents can actually stay home. Because think about it. If you remove the taxes that you're paying on the earnings that you have, the clothes that you have to buy to go to work, the gasoline that it takes you to go to work, the money that you spend going out to lunch to go to work. And so once we back those out and we actually do a budget for them, they realize that it's not going to cost them that much. And then their other spouse is going to adjust their withholdings at work because they're not going to be paying as much in taxes anymore. And so all of a sudden they realize, hey, you know what? I think it's affordable. I think I can do that.
So before we let you go, Lewis, any last words of financial advice for us soon-to-be parents?
Yeah, you know, I want people not to be so as much concerned about the money as more as sitting down and really taking a look at what their values are, prioritizing those values and creating goals from those values, and then deciding what's more important. I sit down and I'll look at parents who are putting a lot of money away in a kid's education fund when they really actually should be spending more time with that child. And that's really important. At the same time, the other thing is that I always want to take a look at when people are spending money on retirement or their kids. I want to make sure that the couple's happy, because I see a lot of people end up in poverty when they're so busy taking care of their kids or their work that they don't spend time in their family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll stop people from putting money into their 401k or into the Section 529 plan, and I have sent them through group counseling sometimes because to me that retains the wealth in the family long term.
Certified financial planner Lewis Barajas is the author of 5 books, including My Street Money. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And Sarah and Andrew, thank you for your time.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.